Just an explanation about my voice. I suffered a vocal injury 25 years ago. Left my voice very small. I'm waiting on the Lord every day for His healing, and they're working the sound system so that it can work for us. Is it working okay today? Awesome. Let me just mention a couple books I'm going to be speaking this morning on The Secret Place. And if you don't have this book, you really want to get yourself a copy of that one. And my most recent book, Reset, is it's written for two kinds of people. If you have struggled to know how to get momentum in your personal prayer life, it's for you. Or if you're someone who used to have some momentum and it's kind of fallen into some disrepair and you know you need to get back in, it's for you as well. So you're welcome to check it out. And we're busting through all Amazon pricing today. So we've got a special 4 books for $30, and if you get the 4 for $30, I'm throwing in a free copy of Reset, my gift to you. So please feel free to take advantage of that this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this privilege of being in your house in the name of Jesus, gathered together and lifting up such a beautiful name. Jesus, we love you today. And we ask now for grace to be on the ministry of the word. Help every one of us to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you can give me just a wee bit more here, I'll take it. I don't know if I'm at the top yet. There or not. Thank you. When this happened to me, with my voice, it catapulted me into a profound personal crisis. And the thing that was my survival was The Secret Place, coming to the Word of God. I am here today because of The Secret Place. This almost took me out. And the only thing that kept me were the rhema words of God in The Secret Place. I'm a rhema survivor this morning. My son was looking for a church on one occasion and with his family, and so he asked me, Dad, what should I look for in a local church? He'd been visiting several churches in the city, and here's what I said to him. Look for a church that produces spiritual hunger in its flock. How do you produce spiritual hunger in a flock? Well, the answer's a little bit counterintuitive, Don. You feed them. Because sheep that are well fed get healthy. And when you get healthy, you develop an appetite. And once you get a spiritual appetite, Sunday morning doesn't cut it for you anymore. You want more. And that's what The Secret Place is all about. It's about sitting at His feet, feeding ourselves in the Word of God, hearing the rhemas of His mouth, and being quickened by the life of God. Now, I personally do not see any contradiction between the role of the congregation and the role of The Secret Place in the life of the believer. I believe every believer needs both. I believe in going to church. I love that you do too. That's why you're here. I'm going to tell you my main reason for going to church. I've got a lot of reasons, Gil, for going to church, but I'm going to give you my first one, okay? Number one reason is out of Psalm 122. The psalmist said, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Do we have Psalm 122 for, okay, here we go. They're working on it. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. There, we got it. The psalmist is talking about the feasts. The Jews were required by Moses to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the 3 annual feasts. And the psalmist is saying this. When it was time to go to Jerusalem for the feast, I didn't just high-five my neighbor and say, God bless you, bro. Have a good trip. I mean, kiss the soil for me when you get there. And here's $20. Stop at McDonald's and have a lunch on me. He says, I wrestled my calendar down. I gathered my family. We made the arduous trek all the way to Jerusalem. And when it was time for the feast, my feet were standing in the gates of Jerusalem. And that's why I go to the house of God. I'm going to make a statement before heaven. When your people were gathered in your house, my feet were in the house. I want the dust on my shoes to be left on this carpet, and I want the dust in the carpet to get on my shoes as a statement before heaven. The zeal that you have for your house touches my heart, and I share that zeal. When it's time for the saints to gather together, my feet were in the house. It's a statement before heaven, David. So coming to church is very important to me. But I'm just going to say it. I don't go to church to get fit. When I need to get fit, I go to the secret place. If I go to church and get fit, that's gravy. But if I go to church and the worship doesn't really move me and the message misses me by a mile, doesn't throw me off at all. Because I didn't actually come for that. I came to make a statement before heaven. So when I want to get fed, I go to the secret place. Actually, to be honest with you, I feel sorry for Christians that go to church to get fed. You poor starving thing, look at your rack of bones, pulling yourself, barely gasping for air, collapse in the back row, and just hope to God that something will drip from the preacher's mouth to sustain you for one more week. You poor, starving, emaciated rack of bones, skeleton Christian. Listen, Jesus didn't die for you to live off one meal a week. He died to give us an abundant, rich, delightful relationship with Him every day, sitting at His feet and hearing His word, the rhemas of His mouth sustaining and strengthening our spirit. Now, I've used a word a couple times so far that I need to explain. I've used the word rhema. Let me explain what I mean. In the New Testament, your New Testament scriptures were originally written in the Greek language. And in Greek, there are 2 Greek words that are translated into English as 1 word. The Greek word logos and the Greek word rhema, both of them mean for us, word. So when you encounter the word word in your Bible, your New Testament, you can't tell from the English if it's translating logos or rhema. You have to go to the original language to find out. For example, when you're in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. That's logos. Then when you get to Matthew 4, where it says, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That one was rhema. You live by the rhemas of his mouth. We have often used this distinction. We've often said, logos is the written word, rhema is the spoken word. And now, Jimmy, let me give you the Bob Sorkey homemade definition, okay? A logos is a rhema God gave somebody else. Let me explain what I mean by that. When the writers of Scripture got their message, it came to them straight from heaven. It was a rhema. And they're like, whoa, I'm going to write that down. They wrote it down, and then they gave it to us. And when we got it, we got a logos. They got rhema. We got logos. Because we didn't get it from heaven, we got it from them. You can't give anybody a rhema. Only heaven can do that. The only way to get it rhema is directly from heaven. Maybe you've experienced something like this. Maybe it's happened to you where you're in the logos, you're meditating in the word. Suddenly the spirit of revelation comes upon you and you see that scripture like, I've read it 1,000 times, but I've never actually seen it. And it pops off the page, it hits your spirit, it explodes in your heart, it puts light in your eyes, it flushes your cheeks, it gives you strength for the next 40 days, and you're like, whoa. That's my answer. I've been asking God for 15 years, and he just gave me my answer. You call up your friend, and you go, I just got the best rhema I've gotten in 15 years. And your friend is like, tell me. You tell her your rhema. And she goes, praise God. You just want to slap her. Is that the best you can say? I just gave you the best rhema I've gotten in 15 years. Well, remember, you got a rhema, she got a logos. I know how to get a rhema. Do you want to know my secret? Pastor Josh, I'm going to tell some secrets this morning, and I'm not sure this group is going to appreciate it the way they should, because I paid a price for some of these secrets, and they're just going to get them for free today. Okay, I'm going to tell you a secret. How to get a rhema. Long and loving meditation in the logos. When you have the logos in front of you, you are a holy setup, waiting for the rhemas of God, the spirit of revelation, to come upon you. Galatians 6, verse 8. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Here's the principle of this scripture. Sow to the Spirit, you will reap to the Spirit. Sow to the secret place, you will reap to the secret place. Sow to the Logos, you will reap to the Logos. It is impossible to keep on sowing to the secret place. It is impossible to keep on sowing to the Logos without eventually reaping from the Logos. I'm prophesying over your life right now. If you will just keep sowing every day in the Word, every day in the secret place, every day in the Spirit, just keep sowing every day. I'm telling you, one of these days it's gonna happen. The Spirit of revelation is gonna come upon you. He's gonna give you a rhema straight from His heart to your heart. Your eyes will come alive. Your cheeks will flush. Your heart will live, and you'll be able to endure the next 40 days through this wilderness. Okay, here comes another secret. The more time you spend in the Logos, the better your chances of getting a rhema. Somebody might be thinking right now, Bob, your secret place must be awesome. Actually, no. It's mostly dull, mostly boring, and mostly sewing. But I know something. I know that if I just keep sewing, just keep sewing, just keep sewing, every day in the Word, sowing to the Logos. I know something. I know if I'll just keep sowing, one of these days I'm going to reap. I'm going to say it like this. Sow to the Logos, you will eventually reap a rhema. There is an awakening to the Word of God. I'll tell you how it happened for me. I was a pastor and a worship leader, but I had never yet been awakened to the Word of God. And here's where it happened. When this happened to me and I was catapulted into the darkest pit of my life, I thought I was going to lose my mind. And in my darkest pit, He began to speak to me the rhemas of His mouth in the darkness. And that's where I was awakened to the Word of God. It was the rhemas that kept me alive in my darkness. And now I wish for the body of Christ to be awakened to the Word of God. I don't wish for you to have to get it the way I did, but I do wish for you to be awakened to the glory of what we have in this book. I'm going to be just a little bit honest with you. I'm starting to feel comfortable here at Kingsfire, so I'm going to be just a little bit honest with you this morning and tell you what it's like for me. I will go to churches, and what I'm about to say is an overgeneralization, but I go to churches, and sometimes I'll say something like this. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, too, and I'll mention a scripture, and the congregation will sit and stare at me like you're staring at me right now. And I'm going, they don't have their Bible. They don't know what we've got here. The body of Christ, this is an overgeneralization, Gil. The body of Christ hasn't been awakened to the glory of the Word of God. And I want to give everything I can to help awaken her to what we have here. 31,103 verses to set your heart on fire. Somebody goes, well, they're having a night of worship at my church. Night of worship? I guess I don't need my Bible. Excuse me. 31,103 verses that are a resource for your worship life. When I'm in a worship service, sometimes the lyric on the screen connects with, like, I was just in 1 Peter 3 this week. Let me find that thing. And now the scripture interacts with the lyric and sets my heart on fire. I call this book The Worshipper's Friend. You don't want to get caught in a worship service without this, because your heart will get set on fire as you worship Him in the scriptures. Somebody goes, well, they're having a prayer meeting in my church tonight. Prayer meeting? I guess I don't need my Bible. Excuse me. 31,103 verses given to us from heaven to empower our prayer life. My prayer life is primarily praying scripture. I don't really read the Bible. I pray the Bible. It's a conversation piece. Almost every verse in this book is an invitation for conversation. Now, there's some verses I suggest you not pray. So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so. Don't pray that one. But there are so many verses in the Bible that are actually invitations to conversation. They give us the language of prayer. When you're praying biblical language, it puts confidence and boldness into your prayer life, because you know you're praying according to the will of God. I can't imagine being in a prayer meeting without this. Somebody goes, well, my pastor puts all the verses on the screen during his sermons now. I guess I don't need to bring my Bible to church anymore. Excuse me. 31,103 verses to set your heart on fire, and you came to the house without it. Lord Jesus, would you awaken us to what we have in this book, the glorious resource we have, that we can have our hearts set on fire because we live in the Word of God. I suggest that you pray, that you cry a Gil kind of cry. I like the way that Gil just cries out to God. He was telling me about it in the car yesterday. Get some tears rolling down your face and cry out to God, awaken me to the glory of your word. At his baptism, at the baptism of Jesus, the dove of the Holy Spirit came and settled upon Jesus. Listen. The Holy Spirit loves to come and rest upon the Word. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Has anyone here ever done a campfire? Josh is my chainsaw buddy, okay? He's done a campfire. Let me ask you a question, Josh. Is that campfire still going? He stopped putting wood on the fire. If you want the fire of your heart to stay hot, you've got to keep putting wood on the altar of your heart. Listen, the wood is the Word. And when your heart starts to get cold, Dr. Bob has a remedy for you today. Go get you some wood. Get into the Logos and get some wood on the altar of your heart. You don't have to live with a cold heart. You can actually have a burning heart on a daily basis in the presence of God. You just need to keep putting wood on the altar of your heart, David. Go get some logos. I would like to share with you today a rhema that God gave me. Would that be okay with you? I just need one hand. Thank you. Preacher only needs one hand. So I'm going to share with you a rhema that God gave me on one occasion. And let me just give you the background how this happened. I was in a season of particular consecration, and I was giving myself in this season to the words of Jesus. So if it was in red ink in the Bible, how many know what I mean? The red ink is the words of Christ. So if it was red, I was reading it. I was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and in Revelation 1, 2, 3. And I was just devoting myself, eating up the words of Jesus. And as I was in this discipline, a certain word began to strike me. Well, he said it there, and then he said it there. Well, he said it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and I'm like, man, he used that word a lot. And here came the rhema. It's the most important word in the whole Bible. I'm about to tell you the most important word in the whole Bible. And I don't care if you agree. Because when you get a rhema from heaven, you don't care about other people's opinions. I'm sorry, I don't care if you like it or don't like it, if you agree or disagree. This one I got from heaven, and it kept me alive in a 40-day wilderness. So I don't really care about your opinion right now. I'm going to tell you what heaven gave me, the most important word in the Bible. Hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. In Jesus' blockbuster parable of the sower, this one heard the word this way, this one heard the word this way, this one heard the word this way. This one heard the word with a good heart and produced fruit. Everything in the kingdom comes down to hearing. Somebody goes, well, actually, I don't agree with that. I think the most important word in the Bible is love. Well, there is a verse that goes, hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God. Someone goes, well, I think the most important word in the Bible is faith. There is a verse that goes, faith comes by. Which is why when I go to the secret place, I don't go primarily to talk. I go to listen. Now don't get me wrong, I talk to God. I'm a blabbermouth. I got all kinds of stuff to say. But that's not my primary objective. I'm going to sit at his feet and hear his word. I want to hear. Things don't change when I talk to God. Things change when God talks to me. When I talk, in case you haven't noticed, nothing happens. When God talks, universes come into existence. Everything is predicated on hearing from God. I would like to share with you in closing this morning a scripture that is very precious to me. And if the Lord would help me, Lord, if you would just help me this morning, I want to somehow convey to my dear friends here how valuable and precious this word is to my heart. It's Luke 8, verse 18. I think they've got it for the screen for us. Perfect. I'm just going to ask them to keep this verse on the screen for a while. Take heed, how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. It's got that little word here in it. And I think the word of emphasis in this verse is the word how. Take heed how you hear. On another occasion, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. But on this occasion, he said, take heed how you hear. And here's why. If you are careful in the way you hear his word, so that you retain it, hold on to it, make it a part of your own personal history with him, he says, I'll give you more. But if you're not careful with it, and I come back in 5 years, like I gave you a rhema 5 years ago, and now 5 years later I come back and it's fallen off your radar, it's in disrepair, you don't even remember that it's a part of your walk with me. If you didn't have that much regard for the last one I gave you, why should I give you another? So if you want him to give you another word, you must demonstrate that you were a good steward of the last one he gave you. That's the principle of our verse. And I find that football for me illustrates this verse in a real clear way. Is there anybody in the house today that ever played wide receiver? Don, you were a wide receiver? Okay. No, Don, I've never played wide receiver. And so what I'm about to say, if I miss it, I want you to straighten me out. After the meeting. But I don't know if I'm right, but I put myself in Don's shoes as a wide receiver. You get the ball. I'm thinking the wide receiver is thinking something like this when he catches that ball. They're coming for me. The whole team is coming for me. They hate me. They want to hurt me. They want to take me down. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know what direction they're coming from. I don't know how they're going to hit me. I don't know where they're going to hit me. I don't know how hard they're going to hit me. I just know they're coming. Whatever happens next, do not drop this ball. And Don wraps his arms around that thing, gets the ball in his cradle. When God gives you a word, do not drop the ball. Do whatever you have to wrap your arms around that word, pull it into your bosom, and retain it forever. Because if you'll hold on to that one, he'll throw you another. The quarterback throws Don a ball. Okay, let's not use Don right now because this is another guy. Okay. The quarterback throws the wide receiver a ball, and the wide receiver drops it. Quarterback goes, throws him a second ball, and the wide receiver drops it again. And the quarterback's going, you're having a tough day. He throws him a third ball, and the wide receiver drops it again. Just about that time, I'm thinking, the quarterback is probably going, that will be the last ball that I throw your direction. If you want the quarterback to throw you the ball, you've got to demonstrate a proven track record of catching footballs. And if you want Jesus to throw you a rhema, you must demonstrate a proven track record of catching the last one he threw you. That's the principle of our verse. Take heed how you hear. Wrap your greedy fingers around that word. Pull it into your bosom and never lose the words of his mouth. This is so important to me, David, that I'm a little bit OCD about it. And I'll tell you why. I want more. And I've learned if you're going to get more, you got to be a good steward with what he already gave you. So this is very important to me. So I'm just going to tell you what it's like for me, because I probably have the worst memory in this room. Now, you might think that you qualify for that distinction. I think I've got you in the running, okay? Because I've got a memory like a sieve. I don't know what the deal is with my brain, but it's just like data in, data out. I'm just a sieve. And if I don't write something down, it is gone. Now, I know you're sharper than that, but I'm just telling you, this is me, okay? If I don't write it down, it's gone. So I have got this kind of a very intentional process of catching footballs. Here's what I do. When I'm in a prayer meeting, I always have three things with me. Did I say always? I've got a Bible, I've got a notepad, and I've got a pen. You will not find me in a prayer meeting without three things. It just doesn't happen. Why not? When I'm in a prayer meeting praying the scriptures, that's when I get some of my best stuff. Praying the verse, man, you're just a divine setup for Rhema. So when I'm praying the scriptures, I'm getting some of my best stuff. God forbid that I should be in a prayer meeting praying in the scriptures, get something from heaven on a scripture, and have no way to hold on to that ball. It will not happen. I am gonna be ready to catch that ball. I always have Bible, notepad, and pen. When I'm in a service such as we have happening right now, I always have three things with me. I've always got a Bible, a notepad, and a pen. Did I say always? And you're like, Bob, what's the deal? God forbid that I should be in a context like this where the Word of God is being taught, preached, or spoken. The Lord throws something my direction. Now, sometimes you get the rhema from the preacher, you know, but sometimes it's from the scripture. Sometimes it's not even connected to the sermon. It's just like the Holy Spirit in the middle of the thing just go, whoa, okay. God forbid that I should be in a context where the Word of God is being taught. God, the Holy Spirit throws a ball my direction, and I have no way to hold on to that thing. I am going to catch that ball. Write it down on my notepad. Go home straight first thing I do. Punch it right into my journal and my laptop. Then I have a system of cut-paste from everything I put in my journal into my topical library. This is just my own little quirky way. I've got a topical library in my computer and my laptop that I have about most any topic you can think of. That's an insight on humility. It goes in my humility file. That's an insight on holiness. It goes in my holiness file. That's something from the life of David. It goes in my David file. I've got a file for almost everything you can imagine in my laptop, and you're thinking to yourself, Bob, that sounds like a lot of work. It is. Why do I go to all this work? One simple reason. I'm the greediest guy in the room. I want more. And I've learned, if I'm going to get more, I'm going to have to be faithful with what he gives me. So this is very important to me. You will not find me in the secret place without three things. Can you help me now? Bob, up. You're making a big deal over this. Yeah. It's just that important to me. God forbid that I be in the secret place. The Lord throw me a ball of revelation and I have no way to hold on to that thing. I am gonna catch the ball, write that on my notepad, tap it into my daily journal and my laptop, cut paste into my topical library, and then I have this whole system of reviewing the stuff God's given me. Don't ever throw your journal out. Why? Because if I don't review it through the years, I'll forget it. Right now I'm in my journal from 2001, and I'm like, the other day I was like, whoa, I don't even remember writing that, but that is so good. I want to retain everything He gives me because I want more. Would you stand with me, please? That clock is just not stopping this morning. Okay, so we're gonna dismiss. And I saw some bagels downstairs. But here's what I want to do. I want to give us an opportunity. I think David is gonna come and just give us some language for our response to the Lord right now. And I realize that Pastor Josh is gonna come and help us navigate the change of services. But I want to give you an opportunity very quickly to respond to the Lord. If you would like me, well, I'll take about 2 seconds a person. Just if you would like a touch point, I'd be willing to just touch you quickly in prayer and believe for the grace of God to be upon your life in the secret place. If you want that kind of touch point with me, you're welcome to come forward during this response time. And here's what, no, I can't pray out loud, but here's what I'm going to be praying for you. Lord Jesus, I'm asking for the dove of the Holy Spirit to rest upon my brothers and sisters as they're in the Word. I'm asking that you would awaken them to the glory of your Word. I'm asking that you would give them fresh momentum in the secret place. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that as they have the logos in front of them, that the ramas of God would touch their hearts, would awaken them, would put fresh fire in their eyes, and would strengthen them for the journey that's before them. I'm asking, Lord, would you make a bunch of rhema junkies out of this church? Lord, that we would live by the words of your mouth. Help us to be faithful to catch every ball that you send our direction. Lord, help us to be take heed how we hear so that we might receive more from you. Awaken us to the glory of your word. I bless my brothers and sisters with fresh fire, fresh momentum, and fresh delight in the secret place. In Jesus' name, let it be yours. Amen. God bless you.